With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey hustlers, we know that this 2024, the entrepreneurial journey is filled with challenges. An often overlooked aspect is the time-consuming task of processing payroll and managing government requirements. And did you know that the average admin spends a whopping 50 hours per month dealing with just government compliance? That's time you could be spending on growing your business, or let's be honest, taking a well-deserved break. But fear not, we got a game changer for you, introducing Sprout Solutions and their tailored solutions for MSMEs called the Payroll Starter. With Sprout Solutions Payroll Starter, you can finally reclaim your time and get your life back on track. Say goodbye to the stress of remembering tax dates or worrying about missed payroll runs. This bundle is designed to make your life easier and your business more efficient. And here's the best part. The cost starts just at 5,000 pesos per month for businesses with up to 10 employees. Yep, you heard that right. That's just 5,000 pesos per month. So why spend another minute drowning in payroll paperwork when Sprout can revolutionize the way you manage your payroll and government requirements? Take the first step towards a more efficient business today. Visit sprout.ph/payrollstartermonthly5k. If you missed that, don't worry. We have it in the description box of this episode, so click that too. And again, big shout out to Sprout Solutions because your time is too valuable to be spent on paperwork. Reclaim it with their Payroll Starter. Now let's begin this episode.
The Hustle Share podcast is brought to you by Capita. Capita's software solution seeks to automate the equity management process for startups, including workflows around cap tables, ESOPs, due diligence, and transactions. Sign up at Capita.com to get started with your digital cap table, ESOP, award granting, and all things equity. Free for companies with under 25 stakeholders. Also powered by Limitless Connect. Limitless Connect can provide digital CX solutions. The teams of Limitless Connect have years of CX experience, which equip them as the driving contact centers in the future. Sign up for a free consultation with Limitless Connect at www.limitlesscx.com. With Limitless Connect by your side, anything is possible. And brought to you by GoTime Bank. GoTime Bank is owned by the Gokongwei Group, the same companies that brought you brands you love like Cebu Pacific and many more. GoTime Bank makes next-level banking a breeze with its convenient account opening process. It takes less than 5 minutes to get started via the free app. Plus, get your GoTime Bank Visa card at one of their kiosks for free. Download the GoTime Bank app today and experience the next level of banking. You may visit www.gotime.com.ph for more details.
So I have 40 pesos, up to 100 maybe a day. So I go to Ayala to ride the bus because there is a Microsoft training. Then I realized there, this is fucking hard. And it's, you know, if I'm going to advise some new entrepreneurs, you need to think of it. We're seeing Steve Jobs, we're seeing Mark Zuckerberg, but at the end of the day, it's just an image. You don't know, they don't even know what word, paano nila pinagdaanan.
Welcome to Hustle Share, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here is your host, Ronster Baityong.
Welcome to the latest episode of Hustle Share Podcast. We finally got this guy. Oh my goodness. I've seen him in so many pictures with so many other dudes. It's a big group all the time. And all I know is they've been doing amazing work in the blockchain space. And I think even in AI. But if you gotta go through the whole group, this is the guy that glues them all together. So without further ado, let's welcome to the show the group CEO of Bayani Chain and the CEO of Hactive, Mr. Paul Soliman. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ron. What's up?
Good. Thank you so much for being here, and super excited to figure out what you're doing because I have a lot of questions. It's like, I know you guys are doing amazing stuff in blockchain, but this is a very unique approach where you're technically active and hacked in doing a lot of things at the same time. But before I get carried away, I need to ask you yourself, through you, you describe it to us. The $1 million question. Paul, what's your hustle?
Yeah, so I'm Paul. I'm a technopreneur. I have two main startups. I have Active and I have Anychain. And, you know, I love to build things. So in a way, you know, I get my money from it. So
there you go. Always the nice thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you say build things, right, what is the context of the stuff that you've been doing? Because obviously I'm looking at your LinkedIn. I kind of have a cheat code at it. You've been a dev ever since, right? But when you say building things in the contract of what we're trying to discuss now, what does that look like? What are you building?
Sure. So yeah, in terms of building, technically, you know, I got a lot of ideas, right? And definitely if I have an idea, you know, I used to call my co-founders. Mm. And from there, we're checking if this is viable, you know, technical-wise or business-wise. Of course, you cannot just invent without the resources, etc. So two things. So if we think that there is, like, you know, in a way, just a little of like a product market fit, then they will ask me to Paul, how to build this, how to execute this, etc. Both in, you know, project management and also on the dev side to build the product.
Got it. Sounds good. All right. I need you to buckle up real quick, because before we even talk about how you got to the point where you're building so many things and you've gotten all your co-founders across all these products that you're building, we're going to have to buckle up, sit back and relax. Because we're going to go all the way back to how you started, because we're going to have to ride the Hustle Share time machine. Aha, there you go. There you go. And I want to understand now, Paul, all right, obviously, I'm looking at your LinkedIn. It says here that you studied IT. In AMA, right? And St. Nicholas College is in San Fernando. But what was it like growing up? Were you very curious? Did you have tendencies really to think around with tech, whether it's hardware or software, or this came through later in your life? And did you do any hustle growing up?
Yeah. You know, I got super interested in computer. I think I was like 11 or 12 years old, I'm not mistaken. Maybe 10, grade 5 or grade 6. So my dad enrolled me in a, like, you know, just to learn how to do Windows, to study Windows, right? The OS, etc. And then from there, you encounter, syempre, we're in the 90s. Right,
Windows 98 time, so. Or Windows Vista. That's what you were playing with.
I think it's probably like 98. Yeah, that's 98, Windows 98. So you have this word processor that is DOS-based, right?
Yep.
You know, after 1 to 2 years, you're being introduced already to Office, to PowerPoint, etc. And my dad bought me like PlayStation, etc. So I'm in a tech already, right?
Yep.
And you know, in the 90s, like we do, like you know, we discovered Counter-Strike multiplayer games. I was so fascinated, right? Like two computers are connected with each other. And like with PlayStation, you're still in one station playing together. Sure. So those are like kind of my, I want to pursue this. I'm so amazed with the technology, etc. But it started, of course, in my curiosity in terms of how to connect two computers, these games, right? These multiplayer games.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I think that's 10, 12 years old, I'm already doing the shit for some of this stuff, right?
Nice.
So fast forward, you know, in college. In fact, I dropped out in AMA.
Oh.
Yeah. So high school, second year high school, I was kicked out because of Ragnarok. So so
level up. Yeah. This is what you've done, okay? Mr. Paul became a pouring. Okay. At one point.
Yeah, yeah. So of course they will give me baon. They thought that I was going to class, but I'm
you're
just
going
buying
to the computer
Ragnarok
shop.
Yeah, the load, diba? Kasi before Ragnarok was a load, spend a lot of money. But you know, at some point I realized in high school, you know, when I got kicked out.
Yeah.
Since I have that, like, you know, urge to play Ragnarok and other, and I think Dota as well, before I graduate. So I studied in a public school in Pampanga when I got kicked out in a private school in Bulacan because my parents so pissed off already. They don't know what to do to me. So when I got there, so my first hassle is really like, you know, if my classmates have, parang they can't do the project. So they outsource it to me.
Ah.
Yeah, per band, per print, diba? I'm just paying like 3 pesos to the computer shop. Then I charge them 10 pesos per per band paper, per paper. On the specific project, let's say project in math, do you need to search from the internet, you know, this like pictures, images, etc. So I do that. So I got a lot of like money in a way that I can sustain. Even if I don't need to get money from my parents, I can play Ragnarok or other games already.
I have a question on this phase of your life because I had a similar phase in high school. My backstory is I was a varsity player. I used to be a UST Tiger Cub. So you know how the stereotypical student athletes are. You don't really study. You just go there to play, dick around, try to get the chicks and whatnot. But there was another layer that I was... It got me a lot in trouble for it. I never got to the point where I got kicked out, but I always got into either the guidance counselor's office or to the principal. Not because I was fighting anyone. I was a class clown, and whatever shenanigans I was doing always got me in trouble. And there was a label that I had for a while, a lot during high school and probably during early college. Because you know how growing up, everybody gets labeled early. Like, this kid's matalino. This guy's masipag. This guy has high potential. You'll be a blah, blah, blah someday, blah, blah, blah. For me, the label that I got was pariwara. Right? And at one point, I just remember, I kind of thought that was right. That was the path that I was going to get into. I mean, hindsight being 2020, all of y'all were wrong. Right? So sorry for those people that called me pariwara, not anymore. But there was a pivotal turning point where everything that I was doing stupidly apparently is my superpower, and I learned how to harness it the right way. So a couple of questions, Paul. Did you go through the same labels? Like this guy is such a fucking... whatever, he doesn't know what he's doing. Pariwara, wala na, your life is ruined. And second, what was the pivotal turning point for you to like take it serious? Like, you just don't know it. I'll figure this out. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, dude, same. Ever since like, you know, high school and college. Because in college naman, I was in a band. Eh. So in a way, those two, like, you know, playing computer games, not diba di umuwi ng bahay, etc.
Or laseng. Okay,
laseng. Or I can even like, you know, just hang out with my friends 3 days to 5 days. I'm not even in my college, I'm not going, you know, hindi ako pumapasok, diba? So my parents is really like, you know, that label, like, really because of course our we're Christian, no? So usually my parents parang, grabe, ano na nangyayari dito sa anak ko, etc. So they're always doing that. So they don't know. So that was my label. Parang they think that I have no hope in life already because I'm doing those. So, and rebel, of course. We always like, you know, tag as rebel when we were doing those things, right? But you know, when I got to work already, as I mentioned, like it was my first job. So I got this boss that is really like, you know, into books, right? And this company that I am with is super, you know, they're prioritizing culture.
This is Starbucks?
Yeah, this is Starbucks.
Wow.
And they're really like into, you know, I was so fascinated how they do things, etc. And then this boss is like, you know what, Paul, you should be reading this, blah, 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 blah. Then I read, this is not a joke, I read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Wow.
And I just read it, right? Parang binasa ko lang. Then boom. So I was so okay. There's still hope. I mean, you just need to follow this to follow that. Then at the end of the day, it's it. So my mindset was changed already. That
correct.
You know, I need to pursue whatever I'm doing right now.
I have a follow up question with this because hindsight being 2020. Yeah, okay. During my pariwara rebel days, whatever you want to fucking call me, back then, a lot of the skills that I use now that eventually turned into my superpowers, I developed during my Rebelde days. So first and foremost, my confidence skyrocketed with that. I feel like I can go to any fucking place and own that room pretty well. It's just that before I was doing this as a comedian, I was being an idiot, right? But now when I've learned how to harness that, it's still the same thing I'm doing now. It's just that I know how to harness it properly. I've always known how to persuade. I've always been someone who's pasimuno. Whatever the fucking trip of the group was, that's probably came from me, right? So that's hard. And looking at it in entrepreneurship, you have to have that brevity to lead people somewhere, right? Majority of the time, I was leading people somewhere, but stupid shit that we were doing.
Yeah.
But these are things that I'm still doing now. And I learned this during my Rebelde days. I just learned how to harness it. What were those things that you developed during your Rebelde days that you're still using now? That, again, back then, people were thinking that, what a waste of a talent, what a waste of a life. But little did they know that you were developing your skill stack early on. What were those?
For me, it's really one word, hacking, right? Of course, not on a bad term, but you know, when you were in streets, diba, usually you hack. Kasi one good story there. So again, I'm always outside, diba? I want to, you know, form a band, etc. So I'm always, in a way, goal-oriented, diba? So technically, I cannot just really form my band because I don't have an experience, but I think I have a talent, etc. So I formed it. In a way, my leadership skill was honed there because I created my own band. And of course, tropa, diba? Like, we do skateboard, etc. Then I lead. Oh, we go here, we go there. Simple, simple, super simple. And, you know, the being street smart, I applied as a waiter on the bar to see the system. And from there, I was able to, okay. So when you need to pala to do audition to become a mainstay on that bar and et cetera, so there's no pay, you just need to eat because that's an underground scene, diba? They will just give you, like, you know, dinner for if you play, et cetera. Yeah. So it's intentional. So I did not go, like, you know, to the normal system of auditioning. What I did is I befriend everyone in the bar. So I can be, like, you know, I can be at the end of the day, parang accept me in the audition kasi may kapit na ako, right?
Yes.
So that discarte, that's what I learned in my rebel life in a way.
I agree. And I totally agree. I went through another phase like that. And in between my first stint of doing guestless.ph, my first startup, I joined Groupon to learn how to sell, because I felt like, okay, I can lead people to somewhere, I can get people to do something. But I look at my bank account and it's like, shit, I don't know, I don't have anything. Like, how come where's the money? It doesn't make sense. I joined Groupon with the sole intention of learning how to close, how to make money, right? I actually became colleagues with one of your dudes right now, Alvin Dan Velasco. Shout out to you, Alvin, my man. Yeah. All right, we used to play basketball together when I still had some athleticism back in me. Now I don't have it anymore. So you go ahead and just play. I live through you. But yeah, those are the things. So this is the path that I like going through because I can relate so much. I was labeled an outcast. I was labeled, again, patapon. And then I realized that thing. But when you read this book, because this is where you're kind of at, like, the crossroads of what you can be. You can still continue where you're at. And the downside of having people tell you that is that you kind of somehow you'll believe that they were right. So there's going to be massive imposter syndrome, like, hey, why am I doing this? Until you get used to it and realize, okay, this is really for me. What was that moment like after you read the book to really build towards that new path that you wanted to be in? And how did you get to overcome those? That voice in the back of your head is like, they're right. You're really about the one. The fuck are you doing, man? Like, that's not supposed to be you. That's not who you are. How did you get over those things?
Yeah. When I read that book, it was super old, no? Like maybe 10 years ago. But that 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, there's one phrase there that I was really struck. It's the map where they describe, or Stephen Covey described, you know, that if you're going to, let's say, I'm paraphrasing it, if you're going to Cubao, and if your map is Makati's map, then you cannot really explore Cubao because that's a wrong map.
Yes.
So that specific, like, you know, line there, that even until now, it struck to me, like, you know, having really this path where you want to go, right? I believe I'm passionate about tech. I'm passionate about building, as you mentioned. But there are voices sometimes. You can't do that. You don't have MBA. You can't build a company, shit, etc. But again, I'm just following the map. Before becoming a technopreneur, I have a solid plan already that I want to follow this. Mm. So at the end of the day, I don't care about these voices. I care about my goal. Correct. And I care about the map, right? So whatever happens, even if you're down or whatever, you just need to go back up and stay on the track that you know, you set already.
And what was that map like? Because at the end of the day, correct me if I'm wrong, the map, you get to make it. The map has its own North Star. That North Star, nobody can tell you what the fuck that North Star is because you define that. The way to get to there, sometimes you go astray, whatever, but the North Star stayed constant. For me, when I did this, the only North Star, the minimum North Star, was to buy my mom a house. That's all I ever wanted. 2018, I was able to get that done after I sold Chatbot PH. And then I realized, hey, there's other shit that I like. So I need to keep chasing it, but at least I'm already at level one. I passed that level, right? But it was so hard to get there. What was that map like for you, Paul? Considering that you were literally just building your path out as an IT support specialist in Starbucks, where you haven't probably seen the pinnacle of success, what would be like. But again, you had a dream with that North Star. What was that like?
It was formed in different, like, you know, small goals, right? Okay. But before becoming me now, it's really more of like, I want to achieve a certain, you know, small goals. Mm. Meaning, let's say, when I was in Starbucks, the reason why I left, because I want to have a car, right? Mm. And I cannot get a car there because at the end of the day, it's IT sports.
You'll get a Venti Grande or a...
Yeah. So I went to Katz Motors, right?
Katz.
So when I got to Katz,
you got a like, truck. That's a so truck, whatever, bro.
Yeah. So whatever car is it, I want to have a car. So got something like that. Then I left Katz because on that moment, I think I was 22, 23. I want to be able to, you know, to practice my management skills already. Okay. So whatever it takes, I want to be a manager, right? Mm. So even though Katz has a good offer, it's a good company, etc. Yep. I'm not challenged anymore. So I want to move on because I get my car, I get my... Then I go to SageShop Solution, which is a consulting company. Then from there, I learned a lot of what I'm doing now. But those kind of goal really fuels me, even though it's short-sighted goal. But for me, I think it's achievable. Mm. But to answer your question, it's really like, you know, for me, it's really, I don't want to be the Paul, you know, let's say, for example, this year that doesn't move or change anything. I want every year I'm always changing. I'm always learning. That's my goal. As soon as I get, you know, every progress that I think that I'm moving, then I'm happy already with that.
Got it.
But again, as you were saying, sometimes North Star, parang naiiba yan, diba? Every phase of your life. So, but in 2019, I have my solid North Star, which I can discuss later.
Okay, in a bit. I love that you cliffhanger that out. And that's true. And also just saying that there's micro goals. It's like, you know, first base, second base, you know, that kind of, you have to reward yourself with those micro goals to remind yourself also that you're in the right path. Because if you keep chasing the North Star and you don't get mini wins, you'll feel like you're not building momentum, right? And that momentum, the trade-off of that, once you hit all of those little goals, is confidence. Now, last question before we take our first break. During your stint as an IT support specialist and application specialist in Starbucks and Katz, what were the skills that you acquired there? Because now you're on this path, right? You're no longer the Panda Paul, or if you're still doing the Panda Paul, that's not the priority anymore. You have a clear epiphany. But during this path, you had to develop something. What did you add in terms of skill stacks to that version of Paul that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's very human capital. I know that, you know, if I incur these skills on this, like, you know, hands-on job that I have for these two both companies, I can use that later on. So it's really like, number one in Starbucks, it's really supporting people, no? So being empathic, that's what I learned, because I'm supporting a lot of stores. And you know, if the POS fuck up, then the line will, go to...
You're going to be cash.
Especially, especially in drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
Aside from technical skills, like knowing how to implement POS, ERP system, database, etc. Yep. And that is Googleable even that time. But it's more of for me, that specific skill is really being an empathic listener and also having patience with the, because before my customer is really the store managers, etc. Mm. Right. So I learned it from Starbucks. Then in Katz, it's really seeing Katz as a traditional company. There's a lot of things to improve. So that's how I, hone naman my eye for innovation. This one, we need to change this because it's not working anymore. So I have a clean slate there. I can do anything for me to innovate a specific system that is already built.
That is amazing. Now let's take our first break. And when we come back, we will now talk about the rest of the journey. And again, I want to understand what that North Star is. Because again, as you are getting all these little goals, that's great. And most people actually stop at their little goals. And I see this a lot. But I want to understand how you kept pushing through to become the CEO of all these tech startups that you're in. But let's talk about that more after.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, I have a very, very exciting opportunity I want to share with you guys. If you're a B2B startup founder, listen up. Your ticket to growth is here. Introducing Impact 24, the Philippines' largest B2B SaaS challenge. Calling all startups in their pre-launch, pre-seed, or seed stages, this is your chance to accelerate their growth. Submit your pitch to Impact 24 and get ready for a 10-week intensive program to elevate your solution. What's in it for you? How about up to 500,000 pesos in MVP project support, exclusive credits from industry partners, personalized mentoring, and a shot to pitch at SaaSCon PH, the country's biggest SaaS conference this April. But yo, you gotta hurry up because submissions close on January 26, 2024 already. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your startup to new heights. Apply now at saaschallenge.ph. That's saaschallenge.ph. And good luck, and I'll see you guys in Impact 24.
The break.
And we're back from the break. We are still with Paul Soliman, that told us the chip on his shoulder. Again, I have a similar chip because, Paul, before we continue the story, do you also feel the same way? Because even though you've achieved so much now, right, you still feel and work like you're the underdog because of that rebel today. It's like, oh, I still have that. Oh, people will not give me a free pass. I feel like I'm always the last choice. I feel like I barely just made it. So I'm going to have to outwork, out hustle, and outcompete everyone because I don't have a free pass. I'm going to have to work to get here.
Yeah. I mean, even right now, right? Again, as I mentioned, dude, I dropped out in college. Of course, I got diploma, but at the end of the day, I didn't really go there. Then you meet your partners that is, an ME in Ateneo, blah, 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 right? And have MBA, etc. So, of course, in terms of running business, in a way, you're thinking that, this guys, I mean, they have all of this knowledge, right? And also, they went to this school, etc. So, in a way, how can I match that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just a tech guy in a way, of course. Mm-hmm. If we go code, if we go AI, etc., I'm going to win. But in terms of this, are they really being fair to me in terms of shares, etc.? So I have those kind of, in a way, at the back of my mind, is this really the path that I want? Because yeah. I'm an underdog here. Am right. I going to be just be in Singapore to get a high-paying job because right. I had before, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's true. The imposter syndrome will never leave. Until now, I still have massive imposter syndrome. I just get used to, I get to learn how to like silence it out. Like, wait, you've kind of made it a little bit, right? But, and you belong. You belong in this fucking room, right? Because sometimes like, shit, I'm surrounded by all these fuck shots. The fuck am I doing here, right? And then, but again, you realize that by looking back of how much shit you had to go through and how much hustle you had to pull through, then you realize that, like, yep, I belong here. And I learned that through this show because everyone hustled their way. And if you find everybody's backstory and you understand everybody's backstory, like, oh, okay. Everybody goes through shit. Matter of fact, I probably went through more shit than most of these folks. So I belong. All right. So I want to now understand, after SageSoft, you did Accelerate Technologies. And now, this is probably one of the first forays into being a leader. You were business unit head, cloud evangelist, and you became CIO at one point. Walk me through this new phase in your life and how did your skill stack also evolve at the same time?
Sure. So I think it's not natural, but in the process, I really learned, even if I did not read the book yet, Growth, about Growth Mindset by Carol Dweck, right? I know already that's
you're already doing
how yeah, I'm already doing, but I just don't know what
you don't
it
have
is,
a label
right?
for so, it yet.
Yeah. So dude, when I was like, you know, doing all these things, I'm always into like, I don't want to be mediocre, right? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this 100%.
Yeah,
so in. That's why I'm calling myself a passionate guy in terms of like, even a little things, like let's say creating a before hindi pa uso Google Forms, etc. I created something like that in, you know, Cats, I think, and even
nice.
with SageSoft. But I really spend a lot of time to do that, right? And I'm super focused. And from there, I realized that, you know, you just need to be focused and like, you know, put your 100% on these things. And I will not say that I'm finished until I'm really finished and I put my 100% on a specific task, even a small task.
Correct.
So that's why even, you know, even currently my wife is saying that I cannot multitask because I cannot. I really laser focus on a specific
Same.
Level.
That's why I'm so amazed by those people that who can multitask, because I can time box. I can put 100% for, say, an hour or two, and then I'm sabaw. I need to...
Yeah.
But during those 1 to 2 hours, I time box myself, put it in my calendar. This is the only thing I'm going to focus on. I'll give everything, and I'm going to make sure that no blocker is on the way, because I have 15 other things to do that for. But I can't do all two things at the same time. It becomes mediocre. I totally agree.
So that's why I think when I got to SageSoft and Accelerate, I earned that skill already to have a laser focus on specific things. So imagine from an IT specialist, I jump into a more management position already, etc. So what happened there is, you know, so I became a project manager. I studied like, you know, PMBOK, Agile, etc.
Wow.
All of these things. Google, dude. Just Google. Then I really like, you know, if I'm not mistaken, like 3 months, I'm just really reading, doing all of this stuff. But the good thing, I think I have a skill as well that if I learn something, I teach it. And from there, parang I'm practicing it already. Then I want to apply it already. So correct. I don't just read na hindi ko ina-apply. So that's why I became a project manager. In a way, I think I passed a certification in Microsoft that time to do management, etc. Then after that, when you know, Accelerate bought the ERP portfolio of SageSoft, I got invited to not to become a partner, but to become a founding employee of that company.
Then
I become the business unit head and also the chief innovation officer. So from there, technically, again, I needed to use my skills because I'm managing people already. So I need to be laser focused again on learning how to manage people, leadership, etc. But there's an incident that I really proved that, you know, if you're focused on something, you know, there's nothing impossible. So one employee resigned because we're managing ERP, right? Yeah. We're implementing ERP. And that's, if you don't know that shit, you don't know it. I mean, absolutely. You cannot really implement ERP because it has accounting, debit, credit, etc. So I learned accounting because of that one person resigning. We don't have a resource already and we're engaged into this manufacturing company.
Holy shit.
So you need to understand how manufacturing works. Back flushing, forward flushing, planning, etc. So again, I use my skills again, the discarte moment, like, you know, how can I hack this? How can I learn these things from... Mm. As in, like, a business owner, I'm going to learn this, like, you know, pretend that I own this manufacturing. What do I need to get on the system, etc.? And then through enough, like, 2 weeks of, like, puyats and all. So I don't have functional consultant already. So that functional consultant serve as a BA, kasi, diba, business analyst. Yep, they know, they really know the shit. They can implement. Me, I don't. I just manage people there, right? And on the tech skills. Maybe if that's a development, I can do that. But it's not anymore like that. It's really facing client, describing how to, like, you know, to incorporate their process into the ERP system. So in 2 weeks' time, I prove it again. So I of course, I fail like a week. Again, discarte, calling the clients. Sir, can we move this? Because blah, 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 blah. But combining those two things, so I was able to implement it by myself.
That's amazing.
And of course, I have other junior people who helped me. But I mean, I was the one who's leading the implementation.
And that's a key leadership trait. And I see a lot of founders that are becoming, that are successful, you know, do this well. Because especially if you're coming up with your own startup, right? You can't, what I realize now is there's a lot of average and above average employees that you can get. But it's super duper rare when you have an A player. And I label an A player as someone who's able to exactly do what you did. Hack the system and figure it out when you need to step up. Most people are dependent just because of how school is designed to be spoon-fed. And if they are not spoon-fed, they're nga nga. All right? They have no idea how to do it. And a lot of the founders that I've seen, again, do well, is able to prove to not just to themselves, not just to their clients, but to their team, that as push comes to shove, you can fill in that role temporarily, learn it, and then pass it on to someone. Because if you don't develop that skill of the ability to, like, all of a sudden, I am a PM for a couple weeks. All of a sudden, I'm customer service for a couple weeks. How can you tell someone from your team to step up the way you need them to if you didn't show them how it's done? Right. And that's CEO skills right there. Cause you have to be able to adapt and be multifaceted, and not just multifaceted. You have to do well, because whatever you do as a founder or as a leader there becomes the standard of how everybody else is going to do it after you're delegating that. Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah. I'm always have that, like, you know, mindset, even though, you know, I have people already that's working for me. I'm ready to always jump.
Prove you that I can fucking do this at a high level.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And you're not supposed to give someone or delegate someone to do something that you cannot do as much as you can. Not all the time. It also depends on how big your team is. Eventually, you're going to have to pass that on to your next down the next levels and whatnot, and have them show the standard how it's supposed to be done. But if push comes to shove, if shit hits the fan, that's you, the founder. The buck stops with you. Now, Paul, I'll circle back again to the North Star, because before we took our first break, you mentioned that, you know, there are smaller base hits, or, you know, that you needed to win car and whatnot. What, at this point of your career, was the North Star really defined, or did it change already? And what was that like?
So when I got my first company in I think 2018, then it, so technically there was a merge between that and Raven, the 2019 company. I was able to, in a way, crafting my vision on, like, you know, if I'm 40 years old already, what do I want to do, right? So I'm seeing a problem. Dude, kung di mo kailangan humasal, I would choose that.
Same here. I'd play basketball all day.
Yeah, so I saw that. Like, I think I know already where I want to go in terms of really having an impact already in the society. That's my vision already. So what I'm seeing here in the Philippines is, of course, every one of us, that's why we became an entrepreneur, is because we want to help our country to become at least second world, right?
Yep.
You know, I have a kid. So I have kids, sorry. I have three kids. I want them to already feel that, you know, when they grow, at least sana, pag college na sila and all, they were second world country already. Then,
right.
You know, in a way, we're transitioning into, like, you know, really, in a way, di naman Singapore agad kasi matagal pa yan. But at the end of the day, something like that, right? And I think, like creating a globally ready or equipped Filipino in tech and entrepreneurship, then we're really helping the country. My plan is, I have an ambitious plan, but it's achievable in terms of it has numbers. Yeah. So I want to have 10 tech companies.
Wow.
So I'm 33 now. Mm-hmm. So I still have, like, you know, 7 years to do it, but it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, that's my vision. Mm. I don't fucking care what other people say. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, when I started, like, you know, Raven, then the next Haptive, I was surprised that I can do it pala to have like 2-3 companies. So before, parang kaya ko ba talaga ng 10? Then some people are saying, no, you need to focus on one, then be rich at that, then exit, then invest, diba? Mm. So for me, I'm not that kind of, like, you know, in a way, I don't make money in passive. But of course, in terms of, you know, crypto and all, I learned that already. But for me, it's really, I'm active. I want to have an idea, sell that idea, and have a product, and sell that product. Then you make money. That's how I do it, right? So technically, when I'm in Raven already, so I really did it because I have a company already. So I got one. So then Haptive came along. So it was in the middle of pandemic. Okay. I needed to like, you know, create a company already that parang I know how to do it. Because, you know, the start, if you're creating a product, it's, you know, you need to ask for money for investment. You know that shit, right? In startups, etc. In Haptive, it's very different. Like, you know, it's Paul Soliman show, meaning I'm going to do whatever I'm doing when I was in Starbucks, in Katz, in Sage Soft, etc. Then I'm just going to sell and replicate myself. That's our plan when I got partnership. So in 2020, I was like, you know, awarded as Microsoft MVP, the first Filipino Microsoft MVP in the Philippines. So there's a lot of like Filipino MVP around the world. So I was the first Filipino in that category, business applications, right? And then and I saw a problem that, you know, other Microsoft partners are failing to implement CRM, ERP, etc.
Yep.
So
and this is your game for a long time already.
Yeah.
So this is easy peasy for you.
So I saw that problem. So that's a big problem because, you know, companies are spending a lot of money, then yet they cannot see the output, right? Or the implementation
itself. Subpar.
Yeah. So, sabi ko, kikreate ko yung Haptive. I'm just gonna fix whatever other partners did not fix or did not finish. And true enough, that's my business model. That was my business model before it grew to, like, you know, deep tech AI, etc.
Got it.
So, dude, my skills, the one that you're saying about, like, you know, you need to understand and learn everything in the business, etc. I started, like, I'm doing sales. I'm doing the customer service. I hire a bunch of freelancer to support me because this is a big company that I'm serving that time. It's under the EPLDT group and they're outsourcing my work. So from there, Haptive was built.
That is amazing. Now, I want to understand this big jump because this is where a lot of people wilt under pressure and some people just don't even take the jump. I want to understand from your point of view, what led you to then, all right, I've learned how to do this in Accelerate, whatever, and then I'll take this on as me. Because that's a very big jump. Even if you had leadership experience, it's totally different when you're the one now having to worry about payroll, you have to worry about your cash flow, you have to worry about all these things. Because it all starts with you. You can't say, Sir Bale. You can't bale on your own, right? And when shit hits the fan, I'm sorry, you're the last guy that's going to make salary if you can even afford it. Walk me through that process.
Yeah, so again, before I got to my North Star, diba, that I nakwento ko, I in my mini goals, I want to be a technopreneur. So yeah. That's it. That's only what. So that's why I from corporate accelerate, you know, and other partners that consulting to me. So I decided already. Technically, I got to encounter this, you know, this quote that says, if you're not 100% on your dream, then if you're just 50%, then you're going to get 50% result. So you need to be 100% on it. Mm-hmm. So I told my wife, I'm not going to work anymore. I will create my own business.
Scary conversation all the time, by the way.
Dude, that was super hard, right? Because that time, like, I have two kids. They're studying already.
Oh, my God.
I need to... Because when I was in corporate, I mean, money is easy because, you know, salary.
You have a safety net.
You have safety. So when I told that to my wife, so, well, at the end of the day, I don't care whatever my wife is saying. Because No, but I get her advice. In a way, I consider that. But what I'm saying, I already decided before I even talked to her. So I jumped in. You know, I encountered this, you know, this story about creating your business, like, you know, because you have a business already, you cannot dictate whatever salary you need to get. Oh. Because in fact, you don't have a salary.
Yep.
Since I still, the business is in a way partnering with Microsoft ground on, but it's a product, but in a way we're partnering with Microsoft to get a lot of to be the channel to distribute the product, etc. So, you know, I'm in Ayala, I have 20 pesos because I need to, of course, everything that I'm getting there, like allowance, etc., I need to give it to my wife to pay the tuition, etc. So my personal shit, I don't even have that anymore. My baon, you know, my mm-hmm. pangkain, etc. So
Jolly Jeep Galore. That's what you can afford.
So I have 40 pesos up to 100 maybe a day. So I go to Ayala to ride the bus because there is a Microsoft training. Then I realized this is fucking hard. And it's, you know, if I'm going to advise to, you know, some new entrepreneurs, you need to think of it.
Because that time, you know, hell.
And that time entrepreneurship became cooler. Diba? We're seeing Steve Jobs, we're seeing Mark Zuckerberg. But at the end of the day, it's just an image. You don't know, they don't even know where paano nila pinagdaanan niya. So I'm really going through that shit, man. And self-doubt's there. But again, the street, the rebel that I still
kaya yan.
Kasi it's dude, it survived me. You know, I'm eating Paris. I'm eating Paris. Like,
which is this, good, by the way. I'd still buy Paris good, nowadays.
I still do that. I am still eating. But at the end of the day, syempre, di ba, if you have this, parang, kaya na, balik na naman ako sa zero nito. Ah. Parang I need... So if you're gonna, like, if you don't have mental toughness, you dwell on those things, then at the end of the day, baka you will quit eh. Right? Yep. Like 2 weeks, parang, hanap na ako ng trabaho, baka it's not for me.
Correct.
But again, napagdaanan ko, and I'm really happy now that I went through that shit.
Okay. What was the breakthrough? Because again, it's not a guarantee that you went through hell, that you're only going to do it once. There are going to be times in your entrepreneur. Yeah. It's a cycle, actually. There are going to be times where success is temporary and struggle is going to be temporary. But those temporary moments can vary in terms of length, and it will be a test of your fortitude, really. So you'll be like, there are going to be times where, man, I'm here again. I'm on Paris mode again. Oh my God, I'm in survival mode again. I thought I was out of this already. Like for me, for every startup that I've done, from Guest List to Party File to Chatbot PH, now to PNA, dude, there are cycles where, oh my God, I'm winning. I can afford steak. And there are going to be days like, oh my God, Paris is ducky. And I'm not even sure how am I going to be able to do that. It's just, it's hard. But again, since you've been there before, you know how it ends. And you kind of have a cheat code on how to cope with it. It's not as scary. It's still scary, but it's not as scary anymore. But going through these cycles, Paul, that you went through and going to that breakthrough, what was the breakthrough like after that first period of struggle where you were Paris mode?
So technically, I think I just needed to wait like 2-3 months for us to be able to get the first funding. Diba?
Then, nice.
It's not big, but at the end of the day, even without funding, I'm already
funding is funding.
The app, eh.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I realized that time that, you know, I can really ask for investment pala. Diba? It's that. people will invest pala, not really in the product, but you. So yeah. Of course, like you, dude, they interviewed me a lot. Diba? What did you do in school, etc. Yeah. So, right? So people invest in people, right? So that time, the breakthrough is, oh, okay, there's someone believes in the product and me. So what I just really need is to really build a team and to in a way to sell this or to, you know, to find other partner to help me to run the company, etc.
Yep.
But on ground on kasi what happened there is when in a way when we were flying, me meaning when we were having a traction, I got problem with not really problem, but my partner there, we separated ways already. And in fact, I have a reason to really go out of that group. Because I know that there's something fishy, right?
Got it. So again, this classic example of another mistake of startups, you know, getting into co-foundership with someone you don't really know. Because again, it's all fun and games at the start. Everybody's like, yeah, let's do this together. Perfect. I mean, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you really find out a lot about that your co-founder when the honeymoon period is over and when shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is like a super big unknown startup that I am with that group. But you know, I think if I continue there, then I'm gonna be labeled a scammer also. So
oh no.
So I needed to go out of that group. And then I met this new partners of mine, my partners even now. Mm. And then we built Raven already.
Got it. So what's Raven? What were you guys building in Raven?
So Raven is a property management, system.
Mm.
Super easy to understand. You're in condo, you need to pay, you need to, you know, complain, you need to monitor everything in your house, etc. And then by using your mobile phone, etc., then you can already do that. So nice. When I was in ground on, there was a built product already, but I'm building my own. So I needed to, like, you know, infuse some of my idea because I was so frustrated. I'm living in a condo in 10 years, but you know, when I'm paying, they didn't, this like, you know, mga bills, parang lagi na lang hindi updated. So yep. I don't know if I paid already, etc. So I needed to create my own shit. Then I offered that to the management. But first, politics, so di nila tinanggap. I'm offering that for free for them to use it, but they did. So when I found an opportunity to like, you know, turn that into business with my partner nga. So that's why we created that.
Yeah. That's amazing. Now, all right, at this point, Raven is one company. You said you had three at this point. How, this is what's very fascinating for me because, yeah, the traditional route is, this, especially if you're VC funded, they're going to ask you to fucking drop everything that you're doing, focus on one. And Raven is one. You said you had three at this point. How did you divide yourself, especially that, again, you said you're not a multitasker. What was that like? And how did you balance all those three and what were those?
To put context, no? So Raven, that was 2019, right?
Okay.
We don't know that pandemic is coming.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, and like, you know, when the lockdown happens, etc. Again, I got already this idea of, you know, that Microsoft, etc. has many failed projects. So when I got an opportunity in 2020, because I'm an MVP before that, maybe I can like use that as my credibility to implement.
Shout out Arnie myself, Lopez, by the way. There you go. The OG. Microsoft.
The OG in Microsoft.
Arnie.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know Arnie is my friend. He knows my journey. So
there you go. So he's an overall good guy. You can't find, this is one of the nicest guys out there. There you go. I swear.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Yeah. So I created Haptive in 2020 in the middle of pandemic. Kasi nga, Raven, like, you know, and all of my startups are not VC funded. It's really bootstrap, friends, families, etc.
Wow.
So I created Haptive. So my partner in Raven, we said na parang, oh pare, there's an opportunity. I don't know if Raven will survive because it's pandemic, right? Mm. So there's an issue with Leono property management. But still, right. I mean, Raven's still there. It's going. So
okay.
So I created Haptive from, like, you know, 2020, and it's green ever since because it's a service company.
Nice.
So in a way, we don't have really a capital. It's a loan from my partner. Yeah. And in a way, like 70% of that was paid already because Haptive is, you know, have money.
It's cash flow.
You know, it's cash flow. But at the end of the day, these big companies are too slow to to also pay, right? So you still have a problem. That's the cycle. That's the cycle.
Every time you're always kabado if you're gonna make payroll because most of your money is stuck in AR. That's the nature of the beast in a service business. And actually, even in product, the bigger the company is, the longer they pay.
Yeah. So that's my in a way, that's a cycle, right? Again, I did that in my younger years in my resignation and from the corporate world, et cetera, on how to get money. Because now you have like around a million burn.
Oh, so, my God.
So how do you like, you know, produce payroll, right? Et cetera. Right. So Haptive, I started like, yun talagang nagtatrabaho, three, four person. Now we're 44.
What? Amazing.
Yeah. And so when I saw that parang may product market fit yung ginagawa namin, right?
Okay.
So fixing other failures. And this big companies, we're being known already like to do like yung mga deep
shit. You're the tubero
na,
of the startup ecosystem right there. Like, somebody's like, leaking. Like,
Yeah, like the upgrade. Say usually you upgrade your system. Other partners cannot do it. Okay, game. Tirayin ko na yan. What else? Migration, like 5 million worth of data migration. Sige, game. So nice. Those kind of like, and the other systems that are failing, like, especially in Microsoft, like yun talaga hindi gumana. We always, you know, get that.
Nice. So that's
it. That's a business model of Haptive. But of course, we're focused on a Microsoft tech. So yeah. if you will ask me, parang even with when I, siguro we will ask about BayaniChain later. But even with BayaniChain, parang I did not, as a tech guy, I did not like, you know, change my stock, right?
No.
Because that stock is very important. The technical stack that I'm always used to, I'm just innovating it every time that there's an upgrade. But for example, I don't have many programming languages, right? If I'm doing like, you know, a tech stack, it's like, you know, Python, React, Microsoft Azure, and that's it. Mm. No SQL. So sometimes people will ask for my help. Like, no, that's why I can sometimes they give me shares of their company, blah, blah, blah. But you know, if that stock will not be able to be pursued, then
so if someone throws you an AWS all of a sudden, wait, that doesn't work.
No, I cannot. I cannot do it. So that's why if people is asking me, how can you manage that? It's because at the end of the day, I'm not changing the way I work. I have already my playbook. If you don't want to follow this, don't partner with me.
Makes sense. All right. So you've always, Jen, on the core, it's been the same. It's the use case that you change at the top.
Yes,
whatever the hell that is. Now it makes a lot of sense. And also, Haptive, you're able to really support all of these things because it's a cash flow business, right?
Yep.
If people pay. That's always it. If people pay. But again, the way you do it, you combat it, is you just need to find a way to always collect properly. Or, or again, just have your suke in their procurement, your finance to release faster. Because just that, dude, I've lived that life where, my God, in Chatbot PH, we have like 20M in AR, and I have barely enough to fucking cover payroll. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, but in B2B, kasi you cannot really.
It is what it is. The nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now I want to understand the other startups that you have. So the core of what you have is the Azure Stack, and you build on top of that. Is that how you then created BayaniChain and all these startups? But different use case. Now you're doing blockchain, you're doing all these things. But I want to understand, Paul, you have co-CEOs or other CEOs that run this shit. How does that dynamic work?
In let's say Haptive, because in a way I'm the CEO and still the CTO, because some of the decision making process in terms of the architecture, because we're in Haptive, we're dealing with conglomerates also, so in a way they still want me to like, you know, to check the technology stack, the architecture, etc. So I cannot really delegate that task currently, no. with Haktib. In Bayanichain, so Haktib supported Bayanichain for a while because, of course, we sell Azure, we sell cloud, right? Mm. That's very expensive if you're starting, right? And but my skills naman kasi in terms of blockchain. So we were testing blockchain already since 2016, mga Hyperledger, etc. So that's why, in a way, I know already the concept. So when I learn things, I do always the fundamentals and the basic. It's two different parts. You have the fundamentals, then you have the basic. So technically, I have the fundamentals already because the technology, ever, kahit hindi pa yan like nagiging mainstream, I'm in a way, that's my hobby as well. I'm always reading and innovating. And in this industry, we don't respect tradition. We respect only innovation. It's absolutely a one-way street, so I need to always upgrade. So when, you know, Jello and I met, diba? I think Jello told that story already in this podcast. I have the playbook already. I know, parang, okay, we create a marketplace, we create this, etc. My stock, my technology stock, we just need to add that blockchain component of that. And at the end of the day, you will be able to have this web app running already, diba? I know the burn. I know how much to construct it, minimal, optimal, then, you know, to scale it. I'm a fan of microservice, so I can, you know, my developers, because I built already my, in a way, my personal devs that is, you know, that is in a way helping me in each, sa lahat ng company ko, because right now I'm just architecting, I don't code already. Sometimes, yes, mga testing, but more of like that way. So, so that playbook of like also build, since I learned a lot of in Raven, diba, say I immerse already in the business, so I know already, like, you know, and the ERP system, so that I implemented, yung mga OPEX, etc. I know how to like construct an accounting, you know, ledger or GL, chart of accounts, that can be used to this startup. But of course, if they will accept it, so this is a very minimal burn, optimal, etc. That's my thought process in terms of creating another startup. And si Bayanichain, kasi what happened there is we have so many ideas, right? And if we will just combine it to Bayanichain, it's gonna be hard for us to really manage it. Since, let's say, Likha is an NFT marketplace, it's a different beast, right? To our words, which Alvin is now the current CEO, he was appointed. So technically, what happened there is if pagsasama-samahin namin yan sa isang company, it's gonna be hard for us to really scale it. So that's why, of course, we had advisor also that says, okay, you spin off the product if you think that's viable.
Nice. All right. Now, let's take our last break. And when we come back, I want to understand the dynamics of how you work with all these guys, why you say yes to them, because a lot of people will always have ideas, but what made them special about you working with them, and the rest of what you guys do in all the startups that you support in Haktib. But let's talk about that more after the break. Hey Hustlers, it's time to talk business once again, and we're excited to share a bit more info about our sponsor, Sprout Solutions. And again, just like what I said at the start of the episode, you should check out Sprout's Payroll Starter as you grow your own startup, because this bundle that they have is literally what you need to take your startup to the next level as you grow your employees. And this bundle is your key to freedom, including payroll outsourcing to experts, a subscription to timekeeping and attendance software, and government compliance services. Sprout's Payroll Starter has you covered for payroll, BIR, SSS, and taxes, all the stuff that no founder loves to do. So let Sprout handle the busy work and say goodbye to lines and tax payment stress. All this for as low as 5,000 pesos. Again, that's just 5,000 pesos all in for your payroll and HR needs. So visit sprout.eh payroll-starter-monthly-5k, or again, just click the link in the description box of this episode to elevate your business management game. And again, big thank you to Sprout Solutions, liberating your time for what truly matters. Hey Hustlers, I hope you're having a great 2024 so far. As you know, a lot of startups had a very challenging 2023, and hopefully things are going to do better this year for a lot of us. Not just because it's the year of the dragon, but also because our sponsor Dragon Pay is here to help your startups process payments in the most efficient way. Established in 2010, Dragon Pay empowers businesses of all sizes to accept and disburse payments through secure and convenient channels, giving your customers the flexibility to choose the payment method that suits them best.
With over 85 partner channels, 35,000 partner branches nationwide, including QRPH, e-wallets, crypto, buy now, pay later, and many more. They also process an astonishing 15 million transactions processed globally each month. DragonPay is your trusted choice for online payments. And here's something to show you how legit DragonPay is. DragonPay was named FinTech of the Year at last year's Philippine FinTech Festival in 2023. So let's make 2024 extra prosperous for you and your startup in this year of the dragon. For more details, head on over to dragonpay.ph. That's dragonpay.ph. Trust the pioneer, trust DragonPay. And we're back from the break. We are still with Paul Sliman, who then told us how he's able to then support all these startups. But let's do a deeper dive on how this ends. So yeah, I've gotten a chance to talk to Jello of Ika. And you know, if you want to look that up, it's going to be in the show notes. We'll put it in the show notes and whatnot. But Ika is just one of the startups that you support, right? Before we even talk about each and every startup you support, aside from what you guys do in Hactive, I want to understand how you decide to take on a co-foundership. Because again, everybody has ideas and everybody's like, yo, Paul, let's fucking work. I'm the greatest. And everybody thinks their idea is the best in the world, by the way. It's world-changing. But majority of the time it's not, right? How do you decide which people to work with? And do you have like a vetting process to really size them up and see if they're legit or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about people. It's all about, for me, it's all about trust. In fact, the way I, you know, work with people is, let's try it first. Then, it depends also on the idea. Kasi for me, I really love parang an idea that has niche. Eh. I don't like super general idea. Let's say, hindi naman sa pagiging mayabang. Let's say someone comes to me like e-commerce. Well, I'm not interested anymore with that. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, there are so many good product already in the e-commerce industry that you can just buy.
But it's a red ocean skill. Also.
Yeah, it's there already. Mm-hmm. But you know, when let's say this guy is asking me to create, to co-found with them an AI company or a blockchain company, then I'm got super interested. But of course, I researched this guys. And you know, again, as you, I think you always say this, network is your net worth, right?
Yep.
And that network, it's not all about money. Eh. It's wisdom din, eh, diba? So I asked around, oh, you know, this guy, they want to create a business. And pare, kasi ganito. So I really like, you know, get a lot of opinion in terms of starting. Kasi for me, time is very super halaga. In fact, in one day, I don't know. I can't manage it anymore. So this is why last time I got an EA already because so sometimes I'm super excited, but I always like, you know, contemplate muna. Baka yung excitement ko, super excited ka lang. Kasi it's appealing, it's new. Mm. But I don't really say yes at the first. Parang I really research about the viability of that. Yeah. And I tried yung mga conventional way of like testing. Like, let's say, business model canvas. I really do that.
Got it. Now, in terms of the soft qualities, let's say, is there like traits that you look for that's probably common on everything that you've said yes to and probably does not have, that does not exist in those people that you didn't say yes to?
I'm really impressed by entrepreneurs that before they go in into something, they know their shit.
Yes.
So I sometimes kasi like uso kasi to, so maybe that specific person just researched a bit of that but don't know really the foundation, etc. But you know, these partners that I have, they really know their shit. In fact, they're sometimes in the corporate world tapos gusto lang i-replicate kung anong ginawa nila and then create a product out of that. And I respect those person na, those people that, you know, research a lot, has an experience already before they, like, you know, have this idea and build something from it. So that's what I'm really, really looking for. I know already if a person, because dami ko nakakausap eh, if the understanding is shallow or they have really, like, you know, deep understanding into what they're, you know, they want to build.
That's totally true. And I was looking at this article, and I'll put this in the show notes. You'll see, I'll put it in. This is an article that I shared in 2016, but it's by Mark Andreessen. And he said it's the best advice that he can give to startup founders is you build your passion first before your startup. Because majority of the time, people try to build a startup and build a product out of something that nobody wants, then that's when they fail. But if you're passionate about something, you've already spent a lot of time deep diving on this, and you understand it from the top to the bottom. Again, you said it. If it's shallow, then you can easily tell. Because if this guy can talk about this passionately and understand every single dynamic of how this works, then they probably know their shit. They just need the right partner to take them in. And so that's a best trait. And by the way, if you guys want to listen to that, again, it's going to be in the show notes on hustleshare.com. In terms of the component of the team, does it matter to you if that's a solo guy trying to say, but let's just say they know their shit? Or do you like to have multiple guys on the same product to compensate for each other's strengths and weaknesses before you say yes?
I usually encounter, kasi like sometimes there are two, right? Na, let's say with Kila Jello, where when we started Bayani Chain, like Jello, but Alex is with us already. Nico is with us already. Parang okay. There, we just mix it up. But may kanya-kanya kaming strength and weaknesses, of course. Okay. But I really love that. But sometimes what I do is I got my partner in Haptic, right? And I think he can help me to like, you know, in a way to do operations for this specific.
Mm.
Then I talked to my new partners and said, okay, can we include this guy? Because we don't have this guy in a like specialty in the team. Na I think we're going to be having a hard time to manage this because we don't have this guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, then from there, we that's how we create the partnership.
That. How in your current count, you said your magic number is 10. Where, how far along are you now? And then I want to understand, how do you know you still have the capacity to take that on? Because again, if your magic number is 10, I don't think you're going to be able to do 10 right away at the current state. You're going to have to, you know, grow along with it. Because saying yes to 10 things at this moment is a recipe for spreading yourself thin and going crazy. And you got a family and 3 kids too. You know, that's a priority for sure. But what's that like now?
I think I was able to in a way to, because when I was planning that, diba, parang you're super aggressive, you want 10 agad, diba? But I still have like 7 years. But the traits of the company that I'm seeing right now, since I'm not really into like a product that asks for investment, etc., it's going to be hard for me if I have a VC, right? That's going to support that specific, you know, product and later on, you know, ask whatever they want to ask, right?
Got it.
My playbook there is I want a company in a way to be established first before I get a company that I'm going to be focused on. Because some of my, let's say I got a negotiation with other, I think the tech, the vision is good, but I just need there to fix the tech. And okay. It's not going to eat my time a lot, but it's going to be added to my portfolio, right? To the 10. But the main comp, that's why I'm calling it main companies, Haptive and Bayani Chain, because I really put my effort there, not only on tech, but also managing or co-managing the business with my co-founders. Mm-hmm. So again, the roadmap naman, it's not like, I don't want duplicate of whatever I have right now. Let's say I want to have a school.
Spread it towards your own portfolio.
Yeah. And then there are like, you know, co-founders that I'm talking na expert talaga with that specific field.
Perfect. Now I want to understand in terms of the buy-in, because again, you're coming in, you have your own payroll and active and whatnot. You have to have your own cash flow. What's the expectation when somebody tries to work with you? I want to understand because you're doing all of these things, and we're in a bit we're gonna go and discuss them one by one. When they come in, do they come in? Oh, Paul, I just quit my job. Are you going to give me sueldo on this one? Or what's that? Because that's a very different, difficult conversation that if you don't talk about it from the get-go, this is going to be hella awkward and it won't work. Because at the end of the day, this, if I'm assuming, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, they have to be all in. They need to be Paris mode with you, right? Because if not, then what the hell are we trying to do here, right? Is that correct? Or what was that conversation like before you even start doing anything?
So, ang natutunan namin sa bayan ni Chain, no? Because, you know, people come and go, etc. And you're right, maybe parang baka hindi ka 100%. Baka mamaya you're just here to for fun.
To be pogi.
Yeah.
To be in the photo op.
Agree. And if we're having a hard time already, then you're gonna, ano na, diba? You're gonna leave the company. So, what I learned in Bayani Chain when we're creating it is we put vesting shares, no, in the founders agreement.
Very good.
I didn't do that in Haptiv, eh. But I'm not saying that I have a regret, no. But
no, we all made that mistake at one point.
So when I parang sa Bayani Chain when we did that, parang ang sarap mag-work kasi you have all skin in the game, money, skills, time, etc. And if you don't finish your vesting, you don't have the shares. Yep. Of course, we will pay you if we raise funds, etc. But shares is very important, diba? The good thing also with these kids, with kasi we're millennials, diba? And this oh, we're 30s, eh. Tas mga kapartner ko like sila Jella, they're in 20, so Gen Z, right?
Mm-mm.
Gen Z. Sometimes you learn from them. It's not LF, for them, it's not a
LFG to the moon. Okay. Wag me. There and, you go.
yeah. And these kids are not really there as like old businessmen that is into equity shares. No, they're there for fun. They're there for LFG. They want parang then later on we talk about shares.
Yes.
Something like that. But they're parang okay, pasukin natin to pare, wala maghihiwalay, etc. Whatever happens. And they're there for challenges. These are new things, etc. But because in a way, again, as I mentioned, di sila shallow pagdating sa business, etc. They also know if you're messing, you're fucking with them.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing about this Gen Z nowadays. I mean, of course, the quality of like sila Jello and other partners in Bayani Chain. Yeah. They know their shit.
That's amazing. All right. Now let's talk about all these startups so far. Again, out of the 10, how many do you have and what are they doing one by one? Okay.
Yeah. So I have a main company, two main companies. So Haptiv. In a way, Haptiv, I think officially acquired.
Fireman of Microsoft. Of there it. You go.
Yeah. And of course, we're parang in a way, jump into deep tech already. We're not doing like mga stable system like ERPC or Ember. Now focusing on more creating solutions on top of the Microsoft ecosystem, doing AI, blockchain, RPAs, etc. And Microsoft sells that for us. So, And in terms of Haptiv helping entrepreneurs, we have one partnership with Marvin Agustin. So we're helping him to create something and I cannot divulge that muna, but in a way, that's our first acquisition.
Is it Cochinillo? Are you helping startup founders to make Cochinillo? Just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, okay.
When I say acquisition, parang we'll help them in tech, managing the like, you know, tech aspect of the business, then we get shares out of that.
Okay.
So we've been doing that in Haptiv, but some are not like really super negotiated. So
So number two, you're a hunk now, an honorary hunk in 2020. I don't know if most kids will be like, what is a hunk? Google what are the hunks in the year 2000s and you'll know. Marvin Agustin is one hunk. Okay. Right. What's the other startup that you have?
Yeah, so I have a Bayani Chain, which is my main company. That has, I think, two core ventures and three external ventures. So we have R-Words, which will be spin-off later on. Lika is a spin-off company already. So in a way, that's three. And we have three external ventures. That's minority percentage acquired by Bayani Chain. Through some sort of like industrial kind of arrangement. So ROG, and also Sovox Lab, and I think that's two, but the other one is eSport. So the reason why we're doing that is because we want to onboard more web people in Web3, right? And the vision of Bayani Chain is to, in a way, after our blockchain was, you know, finished already, we want them to be using that blockchain. So that's why we're not acquiring because we want to manage the company. We're acquiring because we want them to build the solution on top of our existing ecosystem.
Nice. That's amazing. Other than that, is there anything more or like brewing in the on the side and whatnot?
So I'm creating a school, future school.
Okay.
So with the advisors and partners as well that I know. Nice. And I'm brewing an AI company with health AI company that is medyo malayo pa, but we have the concept already and I have the right partner already to do it.
Perfect.
So I think that's true.
Okay. Again, super amazed by your hustle because it requires a lot of focus and whatnot. But let me just ask you a couple of things before we wrap this baby up. At this point, doing all of these things, walk me through how you divvy up your time. Because of course, there's going to be trade-offs, right? You can only do so much. And it's hard. It's hard doing one thing, but dude, you're doing a lot of things and these are equally important to you. How do you divvy your time up to really give ample resources and time to make those things work?
Well, for me, I don't believe parang doing it equally is a myth. I mean, you cannot do it equally because
you're gonna lean towards something at one point.
Yeah. So what I do is I have my metrics, right? So in my metrics, I always find a common ground or common denominator. In programming, we call it like the primary key and the, you know, the parent key and the child key. You need to have that primary key, then you connect the child key there. So I have that metrics. Let's say how many, like, you know, B2B or companies did I like, you know, network for Haptive for this one. Then that's my metric. I like parang sinasum up ko sila. It's not per company, but I have a metric for all of my companies. I want to launch this in Q2. What else I'm going to be launching in Q2, for example? What other feature products, etc.? So I have that one, parang score that every morning or sometimes every week. It's just because I want to have more clarity and focus if I spend my 2 hours. Kasi I can say that this is red. So technically, my partners will kill me already because I don't do this shit. So this is red. So I go there, then fixing, like, you know, sometimes kasi you thought that it's a big problem, eh? But it's not. Eh. Sometimes you just need really like 30 minutes to 1 hour focus to figure out what's really happening.
Correct.
Deep down. And the reason why, I can do this as well, because Haptive, in a way, I got 40 people already. I got my management team. I got my higher ops already that I can delegate with. Sure. So in a way, it's not like kaya ako gumagawa ng ganito because I just want to. No, because I established already one. And sobrang hirap na dinanas ko to establish that, di ba?
Yeah.
So it's not because naisip ko lang gusto ko na. No, before I did this, I need to make sure that these companies have cash flow, di ba? Have clients, etc. And before I focus to another one that really need business development and, you know, product development, etc.
Got it. Now, last question before we go. I'm asking this because I think we had similar paths where we were counted out. We almost fucked it up if we didn't change and whatnot. But in hindsight, Paul, what do you think are the best decisions you've done that put you in this path? Because again, I always look, whenever I self-reflect, I always be like, dude, I'm lucky I went to the call center and learn this skill of how to talk. Because if I didn't know how to talk like this, I'm fucked. If I didn't take up, say, entrepreneurship and really focus on me wanting to be an entrepreneur, it would have been a totally different path than I. So there are several decisions that I've taken in my life that allowed me to be in a position to take this out. There's no guarantees, but I'm glad I made those decisions. Because if not, I wouldn't be talking about or getting even a chance to talk to you. I would have been in a totally different place. For you, what were those like and what was the impact of that in your journey?
Sure. In general, it's really for me when sometimes having this, like, you know, parang guts, diba, na you need to really do this because you need, I mean, if you do this, you will quit. For example, you will quit job, then technically mahihirapan ka, etc. So, pero alam mo yung target, di ba? Yeah. You know that there's a greener field. Then those kind of decision in my life, like quitting in the corporate job, etc. Di ba? And also quitting from that rebel kind of lifestyle got me to corporate, and I learned a lot, di ba? So in a way, it's for me, it's quitting with a purpose. If I'm gonna like just put it that way, na wala ako pinagsisisihan on that specific moment that I quit my job, then I created this. Then after that, quit again, and I created this. Right? It's because I have a plan already. Right? And I'm not really, I'm using that experience for me to catapult to my next plan.
Correct.
So, and yeah, also for me, getting married and having kids will really level you up in terms of responsibility.
Yep.
Right? So, hindi ka pwede dito maging, wala, hindi pwede comfort zone, because at the end of the day, I mean, financially, emotionally, being a leader in the house, you know, there's, you know, spiritually, etc. There's a lot of things. It's, and it's like running a corporation, but here it's never ending. Correct. Because you cannot quit family, yep, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and third, maybe it's, ano, it's, for me, it's like, you know, experiencing this, it's okay to have a disagreement, saying no, it's normal. So, yeah, di ko pinagsisisihan yan eh. I'm really, and listening to my parents, di ba, parang, I parang for me, those combination of like, ah, eto, tama pala yung decision ko that I listen. Tama pala that nag-away kami nitong partner na to. Tama pala that, you know, I'm super straightforward saying my emotions to them, etc. So those kind of things.
That is amazing. Thank you so much again, Paul, for such an amazing episode. I'm glad we finally got you here. But again, invite people over to Hactive and to all the startups that you do and check them out. Where do they go and how do they do that?
Yeah, sure. So follow me in LinkedIn, Paul Suleiman. So, or just Google me, Paul Suleiman. You can see my socials there. Hactive, if we're still we're helping public sector for us to be able to in a way do some innovation there. In Bayanichain, yeah, our latest project was with GCash. It's still live.
There you go. Ulala, congratulations.
The House of Ulala. Mm-hmm. So it's with Likha, and we're building a lot in terms of, you know, these new projects with GCash as well.
Nice.
So that's for Bayanichain and some B2B companies. And following this, you know, in a way, Blockchain Council of the Philippines, I encourage everyone to check that out as well with Donald Lim and other folks and other Web3 communities. Just join. We just want there to really sometimes fight scams in Web3. So I want to encourage
the
people to, in a way, yeah, just DM me if you see that this, you know, company is not doing right. There is a promise return, etc. You know,
we'll have them.
Yeah. Just kidding. Yeah,
that is amazing.
So right, that's for me. Thank you, Ron.
Again, before I let you go, follow us on whatever podcast app you're listening to, or Spotify, Apple Podcast, or any type of podcast app. And also, again, I think we did a lot of jargon. So if there's going to be show notes, and there's going to be some links and whatnot, it's going to be the show notes on hustleshare.com. And lastly, if you want to be part of the community and get a chance to ask Paul some questions and get a heads up on what it is, especially now we're launching founders only, it's going to be in a HustleShare premium on premium.hustleshare.com. Again, Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
All right. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace. We'll be right back.